Hi, welcome to Howling Talent. I'm Anna Roy.
And I'm Yvonne Dagger. Let's get howling. We're happy to welcome Jim Perner to Howling Talent. Jim is the president and owner of Long Island Picture Frame and Art Gallery, located on Long Island in the United States. Jim began his picture framing career at the impressionable age of 13. At the age of 19, Jim launched Long Island Picture Frame and Art Gallery in his parents' basement on Long Island. In 1992, Jim opened his first brick and mortar gallery and picture framing business with a second location that opened in 2012. Jim has been exclusively representing Dagger Dog Vinci, my beloved canine artist, since 2016. He has been an impressionable partner for us over the years. Jim is constantly on the move, so it is our sincere pleasure to have him take the time out of his busy schedule to chat with us today. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, ladies, how are you?
Doing good. Great. Thanks awesome. So much.
Well, I'm happy to be with you today.
So, Jim, let's take some time back. When you were 13, it's very impressive that at that age, you became passionate about creating picture frames. Can you tell us and our listeners all over the world if there was someone who encouraged you and why you became involved in the framing business in the first place?
It's actually a funny story because I never wanted to be a framer or in the picture frame business. I actually wanted to become a professional drummer. And I ended up dropping out of high school to follow that. That was my first passion. And at 13, I was working at Roosevelt Field Raceway selling pictures. And after school, I'd go to his house and put picture frames together. So when I always did it from 13 at Roosevelt on Sundays till I was about 16, 17, when I ended up dropping out of high school, my parents were like, you have to do something. Music is not the career. And then I just started following the framing business and I actually fell in love with it. It was very creative. Where can you go every single day and see something and do something different? It's not the same old song and dance. So if I had one person that really pushed me into it and showed me the passion for it was one of my old bosses, Mike Bayer. I worked at one of his galleries. He showed me a lifestyle, how to have fun, how to make money, and the way to run a business. Mm-hmm. So I love not only the picture framing end of it, I love the business end of it. And not having a high school diploma, I excelled in running a business. Mm-hmm. So the one person I would say would be Michael Bayer.
Wonderful.
That's impressive. Wonderful.
Yeah, it really is impressive. But then at the age of 19, you were able to secure a project at the famous Garden City Hotel on Long Island here in the United States. This project enabled you to raise enough capital to open your own first brick and mortar picture frame and art gallery. What was it like for you to be able to walk into your very own framing an art gallery for the very first time? How'd you feel?
When you got your first car. Think about that feeling when you got behind the wheel of your first car. It's such a, it's an accomplishment. And I actually owned my first business even before I owned a house. So I would have to say it's almost like a first time home buyer walking into their home, knowing that's where they're going to sleep that night and they're on their own. So it's really, I walked in, I looked around and I'm like, I'm not going to fail. That was the first thing as I thought, I will never fail at this. And I stayed true to it at 32 mm-hmm. years later. I stayed true to it. It's a lot of work, but the feeling is unbelievable. It really is. And I think it takes a certain person to do a business and run it And I and at that age, I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue, but great feeling.
When you walk in there now, today, every day, you turn on the lights. I mean, you're running so many businesses right now, and you're so successful. When you turn on the lights in these places, when you walk in the morning, do you still get that excitement and that feeling of success?
Every day, people say to me, when do you go on vacation? You know what my answer is? Every day. Every day is a vacation.
That's perfect.
So I still feel that way. Yeah, you have your ups and downs, just like anything else. You have your ups and downs. But I owe the success to this business, everybody that's worked here. That's really, you look at the people that are here, that are still here, what they help build. You have that. You still have that drive, that passion, that being thankful type of feeling. So no, it's never gone away after 32 years.
That's awesome.
What advice would you
Awesome.
give to somebody, say 19, 18, 19, who's thinking of going along a similar route, starting their own business? What would your advice to them be
I
now that
love
you've
this.
had the experiences?
I love this question because I'm asked this question a lot. And I say to everybody, school is important, but everybody is not academically equipped to want to do that. So I always say, take money out of the equation. Follow your passion. It doesn't matter what you do, be passionate about it. The money will come as long as you love what you're doing. So
Don't
that would
give
be
up,
my
stick with
advice.
it. Exactly. Perfect advice. I mean, I'm not academically gifted at all, and I've got my own business, so I understand completely where you're coming from.
To me, it's about passion.
It is. If you don't love what you do, if you're not passionate about it, then why do it in the first place?
There you
It's not going
go.
to work.
Not at all.
That's true. You're someone who's, or you're described as having a no holds barred attitude with a fearless mindset. Do you approach everything in your life with that attitude?
Think I do. I really do. Because what do you got to lose? Listen, one thing you don't want is regret. And it's
Exactly.
actually funny because Yvonne just brought up when I walked into the Garden City Hotel. It's one of the things Mike Bayer told me. He would make me sit down on the phone and make cold calls. And he would say to me, "What's the worst they can say? No, hang up the phone on you, whatever it may be." And I was never the one to like flying, going any places. So he put me into a situation with the Marriott Hotel where I had to fly to Washington, D.C., do a meeting by myself with a bunch of women in a room, and I had to give this presentation and never did it before. And he says, "What's the worst that can happen? You walk out of there and you don't get the job." It's exactly what happened. I walked out of there and I didn't get the job. But I had that same mindset after I left that meeting. What's the worst somebody could say? Is no. That's where when I called the Garden City Hotel and I landed that account and I made my company, it was just me, sound bigger than what it was. And everything I told her that I was going to do after I left, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I worked almost 20 hours a day and I got everything done. So if you have that drive and you have that fearlessness, do it. You got to take risks. So you'll never know if you don't take that risk.
Sure. It's true. Well, in your stores, you obviously provide framing services. Do you also provide any other services?
This is another funny question because people say, "Oh, picture framing." I mean, who needs picture framing?
I do.
But a lot of people like
Me
go
too.
get everywhere you go, there's framing, hospitals, arenas, sports teams. So the framing is really the bread and butter of the business. But yes, you got artwork. You have historical memorabilia we sell, sports and entertainment memorabilia. We do printing of fine art. We do scanning. We have an installation service. But the business really kind of evolved, and we do other things now where I opened up a silent auction company, which now became our third location because we do a lot of framing for not-for-profits throughout the year. They also need fundraising. So we go and set up silent auctions and a portion
Wow.
of the proceeds go back to the not-for-profit. So that's a totally another business, which is Long Island Silent Auction.
Brilliant.
So all of this stuff that we do for framing and presidential memorabilia, historical, sports and entertainment, those are the items we bring to auction.
Right. Fascinating. Wow. I live in the wrong country.
I think you might be.
I need to come and visit.
We do so much here, it's hard to specifically say until you really see it. If you took a walk through these locations, you would get a better understanding of it's just not somebody coming in to frame a photograph of their grandmother. It's a lot more in depth in it, and it really spans a lot of different ideas and products that we do create.
You mentioned on your website that you educate your clients on the importance of museum quality conservation framing and the long-term effects of the artwork or the item that is being custom framed. Can you explain to our listeners what exactly museum quality conservation framing is?
It sounds like a very technical term. Do you ever go out in the sun and put sunscreen on? That's exactly what it is. Conservation framing prevents, the light from fading or destroying the artwork. So whether it's the glass, which is conservation, has a UV coating on it, the mat boards are acid-free, so there's no acid in the mats to burn the art. And the backing board is an acid-free board. So it's all really hidden costs that people don't visually see, but they'll see it over time. So when you go out into the sun and you put sunscreen on, you don't see what you're putting on. But if you sat out in the sun for 3 hours, you'll see the difference if you had it on and you didn't. So really, when you're describing museum quality custom framing, best way to do it for people is sunscreen. They understand it immediately.
It makes a lot of sense.
Is that a parrot hanging to your left?
Sorry?
Is that a parrot?
I had a little dog actually who passed away at
Ah,
the age of 20
Pippa.
before Christmas, and this was his, so it
Ah,
stays with me.
all right. Pippa.
Yeah, so
Well
cute.
spotted.
Yeah, and Tipper was 20 years old.
So when he died, he
What's
was a
that
little
dog?
poodle. I had him from 6 months old.
Poodle. It reminds me of my dog Inky. I had a little dog growing up. Oh my God, I loved him. Little poodle.
Do you have pets now?
I do not. I do not.
Well, the time and so on, I suppose, as well. It takes time to look
Absolutely.
after an animal.
You need to have the time for them. You really do.
Exactly.
It's not fair to get. Listen, I would love to have a dog, but I just wouldn't have the time for him, and it wouldn't be fair to him.
Well, you help in other ways, as you just explained. You do the auctions for these nonprofits and so on. So you do your bit.
I try. I try. So.
Oh, yeah. Jim does a lot. Jim does a lot. He's helped with Dagger Dog Vinci's fundraising causes and canine companions, and over the years it's been wonderful. And there's you're very compassionate towards shelter dogs and cats and animals and protecting the these lives. So I know that firsthand with
Oh,
Jim.
I'm sure you do.
But Jim, as an artist, I've always referred my clients to you for their framing. We had a working relationship from the onset. And then when Dagger Dog Vinci started painting and his Newsday article went viral all over the world, Jim met with my husband, Dennis, and I, and we discussed our partnership and his exclusively representing Dagger. And Jim, you've been representing us and Dagger for close to 8 years now. How did you feel when we came into you and said, of course, I knew you very well at that point. But how did it feel for you to be exclusively representing a dog that painted?
Well, from a personal perspective, your mission was great from the onset. So who wouldn't want to jump on that bandwagon? The mission was great. What you were looking to do was great. The concept was awesome. From a financial level, from that perspective, it was who wouldn't want to do it either? It was a great idea. Financially, it benefits a lot of people. It's great that you align yourself with that mission. So to put my name on there, I was honored to be
Oh,
a part of it, because the
thank you.
whole journey was great. The whole journey. And both of us, when this whole thing started, I don't even think we both knew where this would have went and how
Crazy.
many people it would touch. You think, all right, this is great. We're going to do this. It's going to be a give back. It'll help the community. This went far past the community.
Yeah, it really did.
So, right from the get-go, personally, I wanted to get involved. And I think on a financial level, it's helped many, many people and organizations. So it was a win-win for both of us. For everybody, it was a win-win.
And then when Stephen Latham, the producer of Shelter Me, contacted us and said we want to do this show, I mean, the day that we came to Oyster Bay and there was a stretch limo and we had what was it, Jim? Months and months of pl planning for this show and.
I was so nervous. I was nervous because they gave me the line and I kept trying to repeat it. It was four words. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And I'm still messing it up. It was like, take it like four times. It was something so simple to say. This big stretch limousine pulls up. I'm supposed to walk up to the door. Before I open it, I'm supposed to yell out, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. Please give an Oyster Bay welcome to Long Island's own. Nobody knew what was going to come out of the door when I opened it. It comes Dagger. And then the violins were starting to play. It was so cool the way they did it. But I would talk about, I was nervous. It was four lines that I needed to say. And I couldn't remember it. But that was.
It was some evening and it was a sellout. He sold every painting.
Wow,
But I think the most beautiful thing that you did, Jim, and this was your idea, and you come up with these exceptional ideas because you've got a creative mind. And I think that's something that you can't learn from a book. You have to be born with a mind that's that creative and talented. And so Jim decided that he wanted in between all of these paintings that Dagger had done for the show for that evening, he wanted posters, but beautiful posters of these sheltered dogs, cats, and rabbits up on the wall that were up for adoption. And
Wonderful idea.
it was the most beautiful thing. And the little sayings on them, like, I need a home, or I'm looking for a forever home, and the faces on these beautiful animals, it just I don't know, I walked into the gallery, because they wanted me to have a reaction when I walked in to see this all up, Dagger's paintings all up, and these posters of animals all over the place, and they wanted to, and I just started to cry like a baby because it because everything that Dagger represented came to fruition in that show. And it just was the most beautiful thing. And the community that came together that evening, the gallery was packed. We had hors d'oeuvres. We had,
It
it
was
was just,
great.
wasn't it amazing? I mean, it was just an amazing evening. It really was. And I think the producers were pretty happy about it.
How could you not? It was great. It was
Exactly.
a, I didn't understand how they were gonna, when they were filming it in all different pieces, I had no idea how they were gonna piece it together. I thought it was gonna lead up and the gallery show was gonna be at the end of the show. They put it in reverse, which I thought was awesome. They started it out there. I think that whole experience for everybody that was involved in it. It was a great experience. Even the producer, even Steve, I think Steven turned around, and I think he walked away with a product that I don't think he thought he was going to have when he started this journey with Dagger. I really don't.
And it was kind of like a happenstance that he called. I asked him later on, how did you find us? What brought you to us? And he said, I just Googled up dogs of paint, and you came up. But what he said, what you said about the community and about doing these workshops and about bringing Dagger to the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and the schools and making his mission, education and community service, was really basically what brought him and made it even more special.
I believe he actually called me up and he said to me, "Is she for real?" Because I was attached to it. And I remember saying to him, I said, "She's the most selfless person you'll ever meet. She is so for real. And it's amazing what she has accomplished with Dagger and what she does." And I guess he wanted to make sure, because I was part of the website. My name came up when he Googled also. And then from that point on, the whole Shelter Me, the Art of Kindness was, to me, is history for us.
Yeah, it really was. And it went nationwide and to Hawaii. And I mean, we had Jim has shipped Dagger's paintings all over the United States,
Australia,
Australia,
China, Australia, Cyprus,
Cyprus.
all over, all
All
over.
over the
But yeah.
world. Yeah, all
Unbelievable experience that was.
unbelievable.
Too.
Yeah. And so now we've got Picasso, who is learning how to paint, and he's my new adoptee, and so we're going to include him. We've been talking, Jim and I, about including Picasso and his little friends on
Wonderful. That's
in
it's keep the mission going. It's a great
yeah.
mission. It really is. The story's great. The end result is great, what she's doing, Yvonne, with
Oh,
this. And
thanks, Jim.
again, to
Thank
be a
you.
part of it is just really, I'm honored to be.
Well, I can't thank you enough, really, because you're the one that I wouldn't have been able to do it. We wouldn't have been able to do it, Dennis and I, if it wasn't for you, because we didn't know how to. I mean, we had within 2 weeks, we had 150 commissions, and I
That's
didn't. I
crazy.
mean, just thinking about names for each of the paintings, and then shipping them to everyone, and so Jim was just so helpful, and over the years, I mean, it's been 8 years of this, partnership and
And
wonderful
business guidance.
partnership. A lot of fun
And
though,
then
doing it.
Anna, who saw this, she saw me and found me and inducted Dagger into the Animal Heroes Hall of Fame, which she's the president of. And then when Dagger passed away, we just collaborated and teamed up and said, it was Anna's idea. Let's do this, let's continue his legacy on and start interviewing people for a podcast. Well, the first thing she did was make a website.
Okay.
And
Well, you need a website. You need a
you
website
need
to
a
go to.
website, but as I was creating the website, this app for a podcast popped up, and so I sent her Yvonne a message going, "How would you feel about doing a podcast?" Just that, off the top of my head, that second, and Howling Talent was born. So,
It's a great idea. It's a really great idea. People love podcasts. They listen to them. It's a great idea. It's another form of, believe it or not, advertising. And to me, I think it's sometimes better than social media.
It
Yeah,
is. Yeah,
it is.
definitely.
It really is. It's the way to go now.
Did you treat Dagger the same way you do all the artists you represent, or was
No,
there
no,
certain
nope.
things that were different?
Well, you got an artist that's a dog, not demanding at all. Regular artists say, "How come I can't sell my paintings? What do you think I should sell it for? What size do you think I need to make it? Do you think a white frame looks good or a black frame looks good? Why does this cost so much money? Why should I put it here?" Dagger, zilch. From a biscuit, he was good.
Yeah.
Didn't care.
Brilliant.
Sold, he didn't care if it didn't sell. That dog wanted to paint and be petted. That's
The
it.
best
So,
client, the best type of client.
yeah, he really was.
Right. He just needed his belly rubs, his treats, and he
And
was,
a paintbrush.
and the
Yeah.
paintbrush, and his
It was
paintbrush.
good.
And
Yeah.
he was
So
crying.
how do you treat him the same way? You
No,
can't.
yeah. You can't, no.
It's true. It's true. I mean, and so Jim, you opened your galleries up for art shows as well. And you also did, you do,
Authenticity.
authenticity.
Yeah,
Thank
we do
you.
like autograph authentication.
What is the most unique show, thinking about this, that you've ever had?
I think every show is unique in their own way. We did Larry Thomas, where he was the soup Nazi from Seinfeld.
Oh,
And I
yeah, I
did it
remember that.
around Thanksgiving. And what I ended up doing was I brought in a soup kitchen. And if you brought a can of food, you got a $10 gift certificate to the store. So you could have bought a can of corn, a can of soup, brought it, and the soup kitchen was there, and we were making donations. We also served free soup that day. And
Oh,
instead
that's
of calling
wonderful.
it, so we called the show. Larry Thomas would write "No soup for you" because that's his line in
That was the
Seinfeld.
line from
But
Seinfeld.
we called the show "Soup for Everyone" because we were benefiting a
Oh.
soup kitchen. So instead of "No soup for you," "Soup for Everyone," and that was a fundraiser for a local food bank. I did Carolyn Grimes, who was the little girl from "It's a Wonderful Life," so I brought her in from Washington. And you got to watch the movie with her, and she stopped it in all different parts and spoke about the behind the scenes. And we did that around Christmas time. And
Right.
she's like, who wants me to stop the movie? They want to watch the movie. And I'm like, Carolyn, nobody wants to watch the movie. Everybody's seen the movie 100 times. They want to
Sure.
know behind the scenes.
Of
So
course.
that was very unique. I did a rock and roll memorabilia show during Oyster Fest in Oyster Bay, where we had Mike Portnoy, the drummer from Dream Theater, there signing autographs. I had Randy Jackson from the band Zebra there playing in the gallery. So we do a lot of music-inspired events. We bring in an authenticated JSA, James Spence, where you could bring your autographs to us, and we get them authenticated. You're right there in front of the authenticator. And they'll authenticate your autographs. So there's a lot of different shows that we've done. Mort Kunstler, who's a local Civil War artist, which is world renowned as probably the most authentic Civil War artist. We've done shows with him. But the best show that I ever did up there had to be Dagger Show. Really did. The TV, the crews there, how much more unique can you get? Than people walking into a gallery seeing guys, a camera crew. That's really very cool, very unique. It's different. You can look up Mort Kunstler shows, and he's sold out. He's great. He's an unbelievable artist. You can see autograph signings. You can meet Carolyn Grimes. You can go to all of these different places throughout the country and see these people. But I think if you ask me what's the most unique show, has to be the Art of Kindness, what we did. I think that was the Shelter Me show was probably the most unique thing I've ever been involved with on an art level.
And of course, Stephen and his crew are incredible. So that
Those
just
guys, let me tell
that
you
is,
something. He came with a small crew, but everybody knew what they were doing. They were professional, they were fun. The experience was great. I mean, he knows what he's doing,
Oh, yes.
and what was interesting about it was he let it unfold really very naturally. There was no setups. There was no, hey, stand here, no, stand taller. He let everybody be who they were. And that's what I think made that 20-minute film very authentic. It wasn't staged. The only line he asked me to say is the one I messed up. And the whole show, that's the only thing he asked me to say.
Lovely name.
He actually
I'm
asked,
sure you didn't mess it up.
he actually
Sounded great.
I changed the wording on it a little bit, just make it your own. But that's what he said to me. He says, I just want you to give like a really big, like nobody knows what's coming out of this store. So, but that was probably very, it was so authentic the way he filmed it.
I know. I know. Really, I agree. I agree. But wow. That's great. So, Jim, when you were hanging the show for Dagger, and you were hanging up those shelter pets between the paintings, I remember, I kind of remember what you said, but I'm sure you know what you said about all of those. And how did that make you feel? I know you shared your feelings in the show about that, but there was something deeper that I know that you did feel.
I remember Steven sending me the flyers and he says, we should print these and have them on the counter. And when he was emailing them to me, I'm like, print them and have them on the counter. This whole show is about the Babylon Animal Shelter and their dogs and animals that are there. And that's when I said, you know, we should make these posters and put them in between all of Dagger's artwork. Because even though it was Dagger's show, it was really a show to benefit those animals at the shelter. And I think people needed to see that. You know, a great, you want a Dagger painting, that's awesome. But do you even know what you're helping and why you're helping it? That's really was the mission of the show. It wasn't really about Dagger's art per se. It was about helping this shelter. So when I was hanging these pieces on the wall, you don't realize just the animals that are here in one shelter on Long Island. And then I didn't realize how many animal shelters there are, and then multiply it by the United States, then you can go the whole world. It's a huge problem. So when you're looking at these pieces and you're putting them up, you want to give everyone a home. It's really it and at the time I did have a dog, and all I did was think about my dog. And you know, it really is very sad. It's a huge problem, and it's having a you know, rescuing a dog, that's where people really should be looking first. Those dogs, you know, they deserve homes. It's not that they need a home. Listen, they can go into a place that was 10 times worse than where they were rescued from. You know, they deserve good homes,
They
and
deserve
that.
to be loved.
Yeah, that's really what it is. And I it did it was tough hanging those pictures. It wasn't easy. I thought
I know.
dogs pictures of dogs that would need to be adopted. But it does tug on your heartstrings.
Sure. And ha has and I guess, you know, after what you're saying, that your feelings have not that they ever were different, but that they've become even more deep and with more emphasis of rescue through the show, through the hanging of the shelter dogs and cats, and seeing their faces and looking into their eyes through those posters, you know, and that you were a part of this whole experience. That, you know, has it become deeper inside of you to be able to promote sheltering, you know, shelter dogs and cats and rabbits and, you know, being an advocate for them?
How could it not? Really, when you look at that, and if you have a heart, how could it not? This is what you should be looking to help first. And there's thousands upon thousands of animals that deserve loving homes. So yeah, going on to a to rescue a dog that's or a cat or a rabbit or whatever it may be, a bird, yeah, that's where you should really start looking first. So am I an advocate? Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, I was involved with rescue for many years, particularly senior and disabled animals. So I know that connection that you feel, and I know what it's like to walk in and just see them. And, you know, a shelter, however nice a shelter is, and some are very nice, it still doesn't make up for the fact that these animals deserve a couch, walk through the
Backyards,
day, backyards, love, good food. Yeah.
playing. Yep. No, you're right. You're so right.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
it takes a thick skin to do what you did as a rescue person, because again, you look at these animals and you're rescuing them, and you really want to bring everyone home, and
Yeah.
unfortunately, you can't.
That's right.
But it takes a certain person to do that. It's a tough. It's not easy. I'm sure it's not easy.
Right.
It's not. It's heartbreaking. And some you cannot save,
No,
whatever you
but the
do.
ones that you
And
do, the
but the
ones that
ones
you
you
do,
do, it's an incredible feeling.
that's the
Absolutely
reward.
incredible.
That's the
That's right.
reward.
That's right.
Yeah.
You just and like you said, Jim, there's so many. And Anna, even in Cyprus, there is so many in the shelters there as well. That I mean, it's happening all over the world where the shelters are overwhelmed, and people just have to know that they're there and they need these forever loving homes. So, but it was just such a it was a wonderful experience. It was great to know, Jim, that you opened your heart and your place of business and your time and your talent. I mean, I can't begin to tell our listeners how not only did Jim open up his store, his gallery to us that evening, but donated
Listen,
100% of a lot, all of the things that happened that evening. And it just was, I don't know, I don't know how to begin to thank you enough for
all right, next question. Next
next
question.
question.
Question. Okay. All right. What is the busiest time of year for you in the framing business?
We're always busy.
Right.
We really are. If I had to say what's a downtime, anytime it's snowing or raining, because
Okay.
nobody's bringing in any artwork to be framed,
Yeah.
or if it's snowing, people don't want to come out in the snow.
Yeah.
But we really don't have a slow time. We really
Well, what
don't.
do you do? What do you enjoy doing in your spare time? Do you still play the drums?
I wish I did. I wish
Yeah.
I did. So I like working. In my spare
Okay.
time, I work.
It's your passion, so yeah.
Is, I'm
It
always
becomes your
working.
hobby as well. Yeah.
It really does. Like I'll go out. I love going out to dinner. I love sitting at a nice restaurant, having a nice cab, eating a good meal, meeting new people. And I even when I go out, I feel like, not that I'm a salesman, I like to network. I like to meet people, and find out what they do and find out, about their life. And I enjoy that. But it acts as almost a networking tool for me, because majority of people I do meet, somewhere down the road, I end up doing business with them.
Yep. Good. Yep.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
And where can our listeners find you on social media?
Nowhere I hide.
All
No, you don't.
oh,
No,
right.
you
Okay.
don't,
Okay.
Jim.
How do we
Listen to
promote
me.
you then?
We have our website, which is lipf.com.
Right.
If somebody wants to, reach out to us for fundraising, we have Long Island Silent Auction.com.
Right.
If somebody wants to purchase some of our items, we just built a new website called themilliondollargallery.com.
Nice.
We also we're on Facebook, we're on
Yes.
Instagram, Long Island Picture Frame. If you type in picture framing Long Island in any search engine, we basically come up. We're on Pinterest, we're on House, we're on all the major social media sites.
Correct.
It's if you put our name into this to the search engine bar, Long Island Picture Frame, we come up. If you type in Long Island Silent Auction because somebody needs help with fundraising, we come up, and all our information is there.
Great.
What other organizations do you help fundraise for?
We've done John Thiessen Children's Foundation. We've done, New York Islanders Children's Foundation. We do the hospitals out here, Northwell Health. We help with their fundraising. We help with schools if they need to be done. New York Cancer Society, Family Residence. AMT, Children of Hope. We do political events, fundraising to help them. It really, anybody it needs that's looking to raise additional funds, it's a zero cost to the organization. If we bring our items and nothing sells, organization doesn't pay anything. It's free. We go there free. If it's only one item start to sell, where, you know what, they'll make a portion of the proceeds. And it's really a win-win for the organization, for us as a business, and for their supporters, because we're bringing items that people would not normally donate, items that people would really kind of find fascinating, unique. It definitely adds a different element to the fun, the event, the gala, the golf outing. Gives people something to look at, something that people talk about. It's great conversation. And it, you, I would have to say, on a high 90 percentile, every organization makes a decent amount of money.
Well, it's a great concept and very generous.
That's for sure. That's for
But
sure.
you know, with every one of the businesses, they all work hand in hand. And that's one of the things that I've learned from Mike Baier, going back to the beginning, and I'll sum it up with this, is that it's almost like owning a pizzeria and you sell retail pizza, but you also own the company that makes the sauce, you also own the company that makes the mozzarella, and you also own the company that makes the boxes. So when your pizzerias buy from your wholesalers, all the retail businesses are theirs. So every business feeds another business, and that's really a great model if you could do it. So every business that I'm venturing into, Long Island Picture Frame is almost the hub of it. It almost helps it out and creates what they're selling.
Okay, so one final question, because unfortunately we seem to be running out of time here. If you were an animal, what would you be and why?
Komodo dragon.
Nice. Why?
Wow.
Love Komodo
That's one
dragon.
we haven't heard yet.
I watch Komodo dragon on YouTube. Fearless attitude.
Wow. They're
They can
incredible.
kill
They're incredible creatures.
almost anything just by one bite, and everything will eventually, they bite. I mean, they are so toxic when they bite. They've been around forever. They're from the dinosaur days. They're fast. People are afraid of them. I mean, what's not to like about an animal who, you
Their
know,
power.
you're really prey to not many. You're really not, you know.
This is the first time that this has ever
Come up.
come up.
Most people say a dog, a cat, a lion, right? Oh, I've seen Komodo dragons take down lions.
No, they're incredible creatures. Very, very powerful.
Komodo dragon's my answer.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for
I
joining
got one
us.
quick question. What do most people say?
Dog, cat, elephant, lion. We've had a giraffe.
A
What else have we had?
dolphin, a dolphin.
A dolphin.
Birds,
Birds.
a bird.
What
I'm
else?
afraid of heights. I would never pick a bird.
Okay. They're safely on the ground.
Yeah,
Okay.
never pick a bird.
A giraffe. Did you say the
Giraffe.
giraff? Yeah, the giraffe.
I
I'm
think we've had a
curious.
couple of lions, as we said. But
I'm
again,
curious.
that's power, isn't it? So you don't tend to think of Komodo dragons as power, but yes, in fact, they're some of the most powerful animals on the planet.
Yes. So
Wow. There you go.
there you go, Komodo dragon.
Oh, thank
Perfect.
you.
Well, thank you for joining us, Jim. We really, really enjoyed it. It's been an inspiring and a touching episode. So thank you very much for giving
Thank
us
you
your
for having
time.
me.
We really appreciate
Thank
that.
you. Thank you, Jim.
No worries. Thank you.
Remember to tune into all our podcast episodes on howlingtalent.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. We've enjoyed hosting you, Jim. Again, thank you. And until next time, everyone, take care.